family, you may be seated here this morning. Yeah, you can give him another round of praise if you would like. If you're about to do that, I don't ever hesitate to do that. It is so great to see every single one of you. And I know there are many that are online right now through Facebook, through YouTube, and we welcome all of them as well. As for the very first time, Coweta Assembly is live streaming from our sanctuary. And so, yeah, so we praise God for that. And I want to say just a huge, huge thank you to Pastor Austin, Pastor Jackie, Pastor Mandy, Pastor Matt, Pastor Cody, all of our pastoral team. They have done a phenomenal job behind the scenes and get us ready for this moment. But not just them, our entire deacon team, our custodial team, our support team, Mary, my secretary, and Melody, they have done tremendous. Can you show your appreciation to all of these who've done that? Our worship team, the tech, all the guys in the sound booth. We have a media room now off to our right where they're in there right now making sure everything's good online. And so there's lots of things that are happening around the church this morning, and we couldn't do it without all of our incredible help, and I'm thankful. I'm thankful to see you. Can I tell you, you look like $1 million today. I would much rather preach to one person than to a stick with a camera on it, all right? And so... But I'm grateful for that opportunity that we've been able to do that. But here to be in the sanctuary, to be with you this morning is just a pretty amazing thing to do. I want to begin a brand new series. I haven't been preaching in a series over these past few weeks. Of course, the pastoral team has helped me. Michelle has helped me, and I appreciate them so much and the word that they have shared with us. But today I want to take you to a brand new series titled Coming Back Stronger. And in doing so, I want us to go to the book of James. So if you would go to the book of James with me, I'm just going to read the first few opening verses as we begin to lay the foundation for this series this morning. Now, many of you have probably read James many times over. It is a powerful, powerful book. It is a book that speaks to the church very personally. It calls out to us. It calls us to a place of living out our faith in a measure that can be powerful and effective as we glorify the name of Jesus Christ. Before we begin to get into the scripture here, let's look a little bit about just kind of how we get here. We know that this is written by James. He's the half-brother of Jesus. He is a strong leader in the Jerusalem church. So he writes this letter at a time when the church has been scattered. They're going through a pretty difficult season. Now, it is believed that it's probably the time that after Stephen was stoned, we read in scripture in the book of Acts how the church was scattered. You can see in his opening statement here in his greeting to the people that he's talking to the tribes of Jerusalem. And so he writes to them, and it's just a powerful letter as he calls out to them and what God is speaking in to their lives. Now, when we think about the people that are receiving this letter for the very first time, they're new converts. They're new to the Christian faith. Obviously, they're having this intense persecution. Obviously, they've been scattered abroad. They despise the Roman Empire, and they're just new in their faith. Now, there were a lot of challenges that they were going through. So when you think about the recipients of this letter, I want you to think of it like this: spiritually, mentally, emotionally, financially, however way you want to view it, they were going through some very, very trying times in their lives. You know, they're being told that the Gentiles can also receive this faith of Jesus Christ. Many of them were their enemies, and now they've got to accept them as their brothers and sisters. So as they're being scattered to different homes, they're losing their jobs, they're all over the place, they have all of this happening within their lives. There's just much that they're having to work through. So I know their situation looks quite a bit different than our situation looks like today. But I think we can learn so much from them and how they responded to a letter that spoke direct to their hearts. I think it's going to speak to us today. You see, this letter, here's what it's really doing. If God's people were going to move ahead in power and purpose and effectiveness, they needed to rise up. They needed to live out their Christian faith stronger than they ever had before. Specifically, James talks about in word and in deed. Now, in this letter, as you work your way through it, you're going to find there's many real life issues that James tackles. He talks about trials and tests and temptations, talks about deception, talks about our spoken words, talks about our faithfulness, talks about walking in godly wisdom, resolving conflict, walking in humility and patience, being people of prayer, being people of faith, but also being people of action. In all of that, he's calling out these erroneous ways of thinking, and he's really calling back the church to a place of standing upon the truth of Jesus Christ. It's in a very anointed letter that calls out to the church. Go there with me, James chapter 1, and let's read these first 12 verses. It says, "This letter is from James, a slave of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm writing to the 12 tribes, Jewish believers scattered abroad, greetings. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow." I love the way that that reads. That's a perfect title for a message right there. So let it grow. "For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. In other words, you will be reaching this level of spiritual maturity." Verse 5. "If you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. But when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything that they do. Now, believers who are poor, they have something to boast about. For God has honored them, and those who are rich, they should boast that God has humbled them. They will fade away like a little flower in the field. The hot sun rises and the grass withers. The little flower droops and falls and its beauty fades away. In the same way, the rich will fade away with all of their achievements. God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterward, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him." Now, I love this because James wastes no time in getting right to one of the major issues that the believers are having to deal with, one that they have to deal with whether they wanted to or not. And he is saying to them right out the gate, troubles, trials, difficulties, tests, challenges, persecutions, however you want to label them, all of these are a part of every single individual's life. To the believer and to the non-believer, walking through seasons of adversity is something that we all have to do. And he tells us here that those seasons of adversity, they're going to come in different ways. They're going to come in different forms. They're going to have different looks to them, and they're going to have different intensity to them. Now, obviously, the one that we've been in, I don't know about you, but I don't want to go back, right? I don't want to go back. I'm ready for this thing to open right up. I'm ready for this pandemic to be over, as I know you are. I'm ready for the coronavirus to die out completely. I'm ready to be able to do some fist bumps, to hug some necks, and to shake some hands. Amen. I'm ready to have no limitation in the seating. Matter of fact, I'm ready to bring out more seats in the sanctuary as this place gets full as we lift up the name of Jesus, right? I certainly don't want to go back, but I know that seasons of adversity, they are just part of the life in which we live. You and I know this well if you're students of God's word. Scripture does not shy away from the fact that many times throughout our life, we will go through these moments of adversity. You can go to Romans chapter 5, verse number 3. Scripture says this, "We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to a disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love." You go into Peter's letter and you see in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6, it says, "So be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead. Even though you have to endure many trials for a little while, these trials will show you that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Now, though your faith is far more precious than mere gold, so when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world." So again, church, we see troubles and trials and challenges and adversity. They will come, they will pass, and then along the way, here comes another season of adversity. Now, I got to tell you, I don't welcome those seasons of adversity, but I know in reality, that is a part of life in which we live. So when we read through Scripture and we talk about how to deal with the adversities of life, here's what we're going to understand. Adversities of life should not take us out. because they shouldn't surprise us, because we know we're going to walk through them. The adversities, they should not keep us down, and they certainly should not defeat us or control us. How many of you know that's what really adversity wants to do? Adversity wants to control you, wants to control your thoughts, wants to oppress you, wants to keep you down, wants to distinguish your faith, wants to keep you in a place where, you're just not standing where you should be standing with Jesus Christ. Adversity comes along so it can try to knock you off of where you should be. Bottom line, it should not do so. It should not destroy our character. It should not destroy our witness, but it should do just the opposite. What does Scripture tell us over and over? Adversity should make us stronger. 3 weeks ago, my wife spoke, Michelle, did a beautiful job, and I want to quote from her. She said this, "Out of adversity comes growth." C.S. Lewis, he writes, and he says this beautifully. He says, "Hardships often prepare ordinary people for an extraordinary destiny." So through every major adversity or storm, we should not be the same when we come out. We ought to look different, amen? It's a chance for us to grow. Now, here's what I do know, and I think it's important to know. It's our response to adversity and not the adversity itself that determines how we grow and what direction we're going to take as we move forward. You see, I would say it like this. Out of adversity comes growth. Like a piece of steel being shaped by the pounding hammer of on the solid foundation of the anvil. In adversity, we are being developed and shaped as we stand on the foundation of Jesus Christ. So in that adversity, I would say to you, let's not come back the same. Let's not come back in the same way. Let's not come back in fear. Let's not come back and be foolish. Let's not come back and be unchanged. Let's certainly not come back and be status quo. Church, let's come back stronger. Amen. When we see adversity, you know, it's not, again, like I want to welcome it and say, oh, bring on some more adversity. I certainly don't rise in the morning and say, man, I hope this day has filled with adversity. You know, I don't, because no one wants that. We don't want this season again. We don't want to have to do this again. We don't want to go through those adversities of life, but they're going to come. So I've got two ways to respond. I can either let it take me out, or I can say, okay, here's another opportunity for my faith to grow, for my endurance to grow, for me to be strengthened within, for Christ to be able to be lifted up, for my witness to be able to shine bright. This is an opportunity for Jesus Christ to be given all glory. Amen. That's the way we approach it, and when we do so, we're going to grow in those moments. I want to come back stronger. Now, much like James, his letter to the believers, church, I believe that God is using this season as a time to call out to us. I believe that he's grabbed the attention of many of us. I hope he's grabbed the attention of all of us. Because if your attention hasn't been grabbed during this time, something's wrong there, right? Because I think it's God has called out to us. He has used this season of adversity to help us, I think, just to stop, to look at how we got to where we are at. And not just in a pandemic sense, but in a broader spectrum, in a life sense. You see, I believe he has used this season to help us regain our sense of purpose and what matters most in life. Over these past few weeks, the pastoral team and I have had the opportunity to talk to many of you. We've certainly not on purpose left anyone out. We've done our best, you know, to talk to people and have conversations. And in all these conversations, I've heard so many great things. And there has been a common theme just about in every single conversation. And you know what that theme is? Pastor, we found a lot of good in this. Now, we don't want it, and we certainly know it's horrific for certain families and certain individuals. And those that have lost individuals to this, and in those hot spots around the globe where it's just really had an incredible impact upon their cities and on their communities, we certainly don't want that for anybody, and we pray for them. But in this, we've tried to see the good, we've tried to see the positive, and what people are saying is we have been reevaluating our lives. We've been reevaluating what we do, what we put our hands to do, how we spend our time, because you know what? We just have to admit, there's moments when we felt like we were just spinning out of control, and when everything stops like it stopped, man, it causes you to focus for a moment. At first, it might kind of throw some of us off, and we just don't know what to do. I got to tell you, those first few days, I was a little bit lost. You know, I was a little bit lost thinking, okay, what do I have to do next? What do I need to focus on? How's this going to look? You're telling me I got to preach to a camera and a stick? You know, I mean, I've got all these things, you know, going on in my mind because I know this sounds pretty crazy. It is difficult for me to stand before groups of people, much less to be on camera. I do not like to be on camera. I know that sounds crazy. So I'm thankful for God's anointing. I hope he anoints what happens here by the time it gets to your living rooms. Because, you know, it's his anointing and his power that makes things go. But I was a little bit lost those few days because it kind of threw me off of what was going on. But as the days passed, you know, it just got you to get really focused in his word and really focused in prayer. And what I've heard people say is like, Pastor, we have just really sat as a family and talked about what's important and what we want it to look like. And when we come out of this, we don't want to go back the same. We don't want to go back to status quo. We don't want to go spinning our wheels. We don't want to just be busy and busy and busy. And there's nothing wrong with having a full day and a productive day, but we just don't want to be spinning our wheels where it looks like everything's out of control. And I thank God for that because I think it's in these moments God calls out to us and he says, okay, let's change some things up. And what he means by that is let's come out of this better. Let's come out of this stronger. As individuals, let's come out of this stronger. As families, let's come out of this stronger. As a church, let's come out of this stronger. And let's see what God is going to do as we continue to move forward with him. I also believe during this time, it's been a time where he's rescued some of us. He's rescued us. Rescued us from ourselves again. He's rescued us from that busyness, that status quo, that ineffectiveness, that broken navigational system. Have you ever been going along and you feel like your navigational system's just broken? So he's rescued us from that, our lack of creativity, our careless thinking, our misguided priorities. He's rescued us from fading away into irrelevant distance. And he's calling us back to a place of standing upon him, living out our faith, living it in such a way where it's powerful and effective and lives can be touched and changed by the power of God. You see, church, I believe God is calling us out. He's calling us back, and he's calling us to rise up and be stronger than ever before. When we go back to the book of James, we're going to find some important truths in how we should react to adversity. It just helps us. Let's look at these. The first one is this. There is no problem that God cannot handle. No matter what you and I are facing, there is no problem. In this pandemic, as we move forward in our lives, nothing is impossible for God. The second one, if you focus on the adversity itself, you know what happens. That adversity just keeps getting bigger. It just gets out of control. But if you focus on Christ, you clear the path for that inner growth, the kind of growth that's going to lead to some spiritual maturity. That's what James is talking about. The fourth thing I see is here is we shouldn't go at it alone. When we're in seasons like this and when we're not in seasons like this, we are not meant to go through life alone. Especially when we're facing decisions and challenges and things of the nature in which we've all had to deal with these past 8 weeks, God wants us to call out to him. And when we call out to him, what did the scripture say? We should not waver. What James is saying is when you call out to God during a time of adversity and you hear the answer from him, don't waver back and forth. If you're going to call out to him, go ahead and be all in. When he gives you the answer, be all in. When you step out in faith, be all in, because when you're all in, that's when you're going to see God do some pretty incredible things in your lives. You see, when we look at this, our reaction to all of this, it's the key. Now, taking you back to last week, I didn't know if you got a chance to see that message, but we talked about having a spiritually healthy mind. We talked about having a spiritually healthy perspective. That is incredibly important as you and I continue to move forward. I love how in verses 9, 10, and 11 that James talks to a diverse crowd because he's talking to the poor and he's talking to the rich because those within the assemblies in which he ministered to, there were the poor and there were the rich. So to the poor, he said this, the adversities will remind you that you are rich in the Lord, therefore you can lose nothing. But to the rich, he says, adversity reminds the rich that they dare not live for riches or trust in them, but to live for the Lord, and they put their complete trust in him. Because our riches will do what? Our riches will fade away. So he's talking to the rich, he's talking to the poor, he's talking to everybody in between. He's saying in these times, we got to continue to stand upon the foundation of Jesus and be shaped and developed by him. You know what? As we move forward, that has never been so true, right? We've got to stand upon the foundation of Jesus Christ, because that's what's going to keep our mind positive. That's going to keep our perspective positive. That's going to keep our words in the right place. That's going to keep our focus in the right place. As we come out of this stronger, as we come out of this better, I don't think church is going to look the same, but I don't mean that in a negative way. I mean that in a positive way. I believe the early service, the second service, the church will fill up. The ministries will be stronger. I believe that God's got a tremendous revival ready for our church. Amen. I believe that. But in order to do that, we got to continue to walk in the truth and the power and just the positivity of who he is and how he pours that in into our lives. You know, we know there's a lot of negative out there we can hear, right? I mean, if you want to hear some negative, don't do it right now while you're in the church. But just, you know, turn on your phone for a moment and turn on the news, right? Turn on the airways. And it'll get you, it won't just be negative, it'll get you confused. You watch one station and it'll tell you, hey, we're good and clear and ready to go. You watch another station, it'll tell you that, man, it's all falling apart. We're going to be gone tomorrow by the end of the day. And then you've got everything in between. There's all kinds of stuff being thrown at us right now. And I want to stand on the truth of Jesus Christ. And I don't want any of the negative to take me out. I don't want any of the negative to take my mind off of where Christ wants me to be. And how do we do that? We just stay on the foundation of Christ. Stay in his word. Stay in what you know. Let that truth rise up inside of you. Know it even more so. Pray it even more. The Mrs. Pastor always telling us to pray the word. Pray the word over your lives like you've never done before. Pray it over your families. Pray it over your church. Get focused and come out of this stronger than what you have ever been. Don't let the negative take you out. For every negative out there, I believe God has an answer. You know, in this time, as we try to come back and we come back stronger, some may say, well, Pastor, it's just going to be impossible. It'll never be the same. It's never going to look the same. Can we ever rise out of this? I'm going to say yes, because Luke tells me, Scripture tells me that with God, all things are possible. Some may say, you know what, Pastor, we just can't figure this out. What are we going to do? How's this going to look? How are we going to be able to navigate through this? You know what? We're going to trust in the Lord, because that's what Proverbs tells us to do. We're going to lean on him. We're going to trust in him, and he's going to navigate the way for us, right? We're just going to follow him. Some would say, I don't know if I can do this. You're asking me to do things that I've never done before. For me personally, you know, Lord, you're asking me to do things that I'm really not good at, things that I really don't want to do. He's like, hey, Steve, it's okay. You can do all things through me. I'll give you the strength. If you'll just be the voice, if you'll just be the hands, if you'll be the feet, if you'll just stand there, man, I will help you get through this. Amen. Because he is our strength. How many of you know that? Amen. Hey, you're not going to bother me if you give me some feedback, all right? I've had no feedback for 8 weeks. If you like it, shout amen. If you don't, say something, all right? Be here with me. For those of you online, that's the real me, okay? Love you guys. Some would say, man, Pastor, I don't know. This has been a lot. I don't know if this season's worth it. I don't know about any of this, but Romans tells us, it talks about good things will come out of this. It'll all be worth it. It's always worth it. Someone say, well, I just can't manage. I don't know. How are we going to do this with our resources? How are we going to make this stretch? How are we going to make this work? But Scripture tells us, I will supply all your needs. Some will still walk in fear. They'll just walk in fear and say, I'm afraid. But the Bible tells us God has not given us a spirit of fear. From the Old Testament to the New Testament, you're going to find that phrase multiple times over. Do not be afraid, but be courageous in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some will say, Pastor, I'm just, the anxiety, it's heavy, I'm worried, and I'm just frustrated. That's okay, the Lord knows us. That's why he said in Scripture, cast all your cares on me, because I care for you. Give it to me, give all of your stuff. I will take it on, and I will help you navigate through these waters. Some would step back and say, Pastor, that sounds all good and stronger. Yeah, but I just don't know if I have that kind of faith. But Scripture tells us he's given us all a measure of faith. He's given us all a measure of faith that we can grow and be strengthened in. I've been reading in the book of Acts and studying the church once again multiple times over this past week. I've been in Acts 16, 17, and 18, and I've been zeroed in on the phrase that talks about, and the church was strengthened. So I know the church can be strengthened because it happened multiple times over as the early church was launched out. Some would say, you know, Pastor, I don't know. I just don't know if I'm going to be able to go on. I don't know if I can come back to church. I don't know if I can get involved in ministry. I don't even know if I can be around people. I don't know if I can ever go to the shopping anymore. I'm just going to live in a bubble the rest of my life until Jesus comes. Can I tell you, that's not what the Lord wants us to do. He says, my grace is sufficient. I'm going to give you everything you need to do to rise from this and to come back and be the people that I've called you to be. You see, church, if we will go with him, God will not only help us during the seasons of adversity, he will guide us to coming out stronger than what we've ever been before. Something very, something very cool happened this week. The Lord had already laid this message and this series upon my heart, and I'd already been writing my notes. Matter of fact, the message was pretty much completed. And our pastor, our national director, we call him our general superintendent of the Assemblies of God. His name is Doug Clay. Well, he put out a video this week, and that video specifically went out to the pastors of the Assemblies of God. And in that video, he's walking along the street. He's in Springfield, Missouri. He's walking along an old brick building that's been boarded up. And what that building was, it used to house the headquarters of the Assemblies of God. It was the original headquarters there in the Springfield area. As he's walking along, talking to us, he begins to share the story of coming back and what it looks like. And then he takes us back to 1918. Now, I've heard this mentioned over the last few weeks on different stations, and I've read different things on my news app that talks about what we call the Spanish flu. I think they've changed the name now because it didn't originate in Spain. There's a more proper name, but that's what it was referred to and labeled as. And in 1918, that's when the Spanish flu broke out. Broke out in Europe, broke out in the United States, began to break out in the summer. He goes on to tell the story, and he talks about how by the time fall rolled around, October, November, they were in it pretty heavy. In the Spanish flu, it was estimated that 500 million people worldwide were infected by it. Now, by the population standards at that time, is about a third of the population. It is said, and I know these numbers are a little bit broad, but he said on his video, and I researched it. No, he didn't say this. I actually did some research after that, looking into it, that it killed an estimated 20 million to 50 million victims, including some 675,000 Americans. Now, this 1918 flu, it was much like, in our minds, kind of what we're feeling today. Of course, it took so many more lives. There was no vaccines. There was no way to treat it. So what began to happen is they had to respond to this. And so you can see the pictures here that I found. You can Google these for yourself and you can find them. This is in Kansas. This is a newspaper out of Seattle. Matter of fact, there was a big revival taking place in Seattle that came to a halt because of this. And of course, this is just a picture here of some children being fed. What had to happen? Well, the citizens were ordered to wear masks. Schools closed down. Theaters closed down. Businesses closed down. And churches were shut down. And for several months, they had to endure this horrific pandemic. Now, as our pastor is talking to us, he's saying if we would go back and research some of the Pentecostal evangelists of that time, and I did, I went back and looked at some of them. It has in there the people talking about this. And people were saying, will we ever come back? What's church going to look like? Are we ever going to be able to gather again? Are we going to be able to sit by one another again? Are we going to be able to minister side by side again? People were really concerned. What is this going to look like? How are we going to respond to this? That's all happening in 1918 in the fall, going into the winter, coming into that first of the year as we come in and turn the calendar year to 1919. But when the summer rolled around, there was a report that came out that was pretty phenomenal. Now, this is specifically talking about the Assemblies of God, and perhaps this happened with all the church denominations. I'm going to hope and believe that it did. But specifically in the research that I was looking at, in the Assemblies of God, during that time, there was phenomenal growth within the church because the church couldn't stop. They stopped meeting in the building, but they couldn't stop. So they didn't have the technology that we have today, but you know what they did have? The newspaper. And so many newspapers reached out and said, hey, if you will go ahead and write out your messages, we will print them out and we'll get them out to the people. So the newspaper started printing out the pastor's messages and getting them out to the communities, and people who had never perhaps heard the gospel before began to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. So during that year's time, you would have thought maybe the church would have shrunk, or the church would have gotten weaker, or the church would have lost some momentum, but instead, the church had phenomenal growth. And then when they took off the mask, when they began to be able to meet in the buildings again, when they began to have church, for the next 4 years, the Assemblies of God grew like it had never, ever grown before. They were building churches. Churches were popping up in communities. People were getting saved. People come to know the Lord. One of the articles written, it said this: the gospel has won its place in the hearts of people as never before. And when I read that, I was like, that is the perfect word that I needed for my soul. And just to conclude the message that I would give to you today, may the gospel, may it be received like never before. As people come into our churches, as they listen online, perhaps they're watching today. Maybe they're going to watch a week from now or 2 weeks from now. Maybe you're going to share it with one of your friends. May the gospel be shared, and may people's hearts and minds be open, and may they see the genuine truth of Jesus Christ, and may they come to know him in a personal way. You see, church, I believe as we come out of this, we're not going to be weaker. We're going to be stronger. It may feel awkward for a couple of weeks. I'm believing 2 weeks from now, it looks different. 4 weeks from now, it looks a little bit more different. When does it get back to where it's all going to be full? I don't know, but I believe that day is coming. But I believe right now, we don't sit back. We don't do nothing. We still rise each day, and we walk with purpose in every single step. Amen? We walk with purpose. We walk with a positive mindset. We walk in effectiveness. We walk in the power and the light of Jesus Christ. As we do that, we will see this great momentum continue to move forward. You see, I believe God wants you to be stronger. He wants your family to be stronger. And he certainly wants the church to be stronger. And as we come out of this, I can't wait to see what God is going to do. Amen. I believe God has done some pretty mighty and miraculous things. And I pray that we put ourselves in a position that we will just receive all that he has for this. You know, I don't know what it's going to continue to look like. I don't know what's going to change. I mean, God has given us some pretty creative ideas, ideas that we'll have to go together. Because, church, I don't want to go back to status quo. I don't want to go back to just surviving. I don't want to go back to doing things just because that's the way that we've always done things. I want to be who we are. I want to be who we are in Christ. I want to be the church that God has called us to be. But I don't want to go back to status quo. So I'm like, Lord, as we come out of this, lead us, help us navigate through this, and help us to be at our best and the strongest than we've ever been. Every ministry, every service, the things that we do, may it be powerful and effective, and may the name of Jesus Christ be glorified. I pray that over our church, amen? And I pray that over your lives. I hope for the last 8 weeks you haven't been just been watching so much TV and eating ice cream every day that you have forgot about what it is just to be, you know what I mean? I hope that you have been focused. I hope that you've had those days, I know that was a little bit dark, like you heard me talk about last week. I hope you worked through those like I did. You said, God, sharpen me. Sharpen me. Now's not the time to go back and talk about all the negative. Now's not the time to talk about, oh, we should have done this, we've done this, and just let all that stuff flow out. Now's the time to say, you know what, God, where are you taking us? I got to be careful. I got to keep my 6 feet, right? Now, it's been a while since I've preached. So for those of you that are online, if you see anything fly from the pulpit, I apologize. All right. I mean, I can tell I'm wired a little bit today. But I pray, God, help us be stronger.